Bible Talk on Psalm 46 was recorded in March 2020 during the coronavirus shutdown. Friends, we may be isolated, but we're not alone. God is with us.
This morning's Bible reading is from Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let's pray. Now, Father, at times like this, it's hard to know what to say and hard to know what to pray. And yet we pray this morning as we hear your word, as we hear this podcast, that we might be reminded of the truth about Jesus, that he is the one in control in a world that is broken and fallen. Help us now as we turn our attention to Psalm 46 to hear you speak, for us to be still and to know that you're God. And as always, we pray that you'd help me to speak in a way that's clear and interesting and faithful, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, knowing the right thing to say isn't easy, especially in moments of uncertainty. Easier to say the wrong thing, easier to say something unhelpful. Before our son Joel was born, Corinne and I attended an antenatal class, a one-off lesson for the entire day. A room full of expecting tummies and excited and expecting first-time dads just like me. Well, the blokes endured the 20-minute breastfeeding video, and fortunately the birthing video was on straight after lunch. During the morning session, the dads were given a pep talk about our role. Basically, and in no uncertain terms, we were told that our job is to make her as comfortable as possible. Do whatever she tells you, help her through the pains of childbirth were our instructions, which observationally seemed rather painful at the time, I guess, by which I mean I didn't feel a thing. Running through the possible scenarios, the midwife told us what to do and to say in the likely moments when they arrived. She asked us to role play it together as couples so that the man got it right when the big moment finally happened. Now, I'm pretty sure he wasn't joking, but when the midwife said to Brendan, she's just started having contractions, what are you going to do or say to comfort her? Without missing a beat, Brendan said, I'd say, suck it up, love, you've still got a long way to go. Not very helpful, Brendan, was the midwife's reply. But it's not just poor old Brendan from Wodonga who gets this stuff so terribly wrong. Other things to avoid saying during labour are, wow, look at all that blood. I'm glad I'm not you right now. Is that supposed to happen? Don't pull that face, it makes you look silly. Can you be a bit quieter? You're embarrassing me. Apparently during a fairly lengthy labour with me, my dad said to Mum, do you think you might get a wriggle on? But it's not just during labour pains where people struggle to say the right things. During hard times we have difficulty. And choosing the right words to say is also rather difficult. Comforting others is strenuous, especially when we're feeling the pressure ourselves. When emotions run high during uncertain times, when fear and panic are present everywhere, people unintentionally say stupid and insensitive things. I know this because I've done it. Heart's in the right place, foot firmly inserted in our mouth. We want to give assurances, but real and lasting comfort isn't easy. In a world of chaos and global grief, in the pandemonium and paranoia of a pandemic, Psalm 46 comforts us. When everything feels out of control, Psalm 46 fills us with confidence. Psalm 46 reminds us that God is firmly in control, that God is sovereign. In a chaotic and catastrophic world, Psalm 46 celebrates the presence of God. God is with us. God is for us. God is present. Have you got Psalm 46 open there? The psalm is written by the sons of Korah, addressed to the director of music. Alamoth literally means maidens or young women, perhaps indicating a high musical setting or a song that's to be performed by the voice of sopranos. It's impossible to know the exact life situation that Psalm 46 was composed for. Fair to say, though, it wasn't the coronavirus. But still, it's now highly applicable to us. Some say the psalm is a victory song. Some suggest it's a celebration of God's kingdom. Others think it's about the restoration, a song for Zion. Either way, it comforts God's people. It brings comfort to us, comfort that rivals our uncertainty. No matter what happens, whatever life throws our way, whatever disasters unfold now before us, whatever troubles we find ourselves in and facing, we can have certainty, clear and confident comfort. Because God is with us. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. No matter what happens, God is with us. For the psalmist, theology drives his emotions. Knowing God needs to drive our responses too. God is our refuge and our strength. Therefore, we're not afraid. No fear, no panic. Whatever losses we're grieving, we're not going to lose our minds. We're not going to lose our hearts. We're not going to react out of fear. Theology must drive our emotions. Understanding must shape our outlook. When things are good, people are charismatic. When things are tough, people grow deep. Here, our God has given us an opportunity to grow up. Theology must drive our emotions. Life for the psalmist is clearly chaotic, a complex and complicated, combobulated configuration. The world is shaking. Nothing is as it should be. The earth is falling apart, the mountains, they slide into the ocean roars and foams at the mouth. Chaos asserting control over order. An epidemic turns into a pandemic and everyone starts to panic. Planes grounded, borders shut, businesses closed. Tomorrow looks different from today. Yesterday feels like a lifetime ago. Do you feel the weight of loss? Are you grieving at what's been cancelled for you? Chaos asserting control over order. That's the very definition of a disaster, isn't it? We call it crisis, and that's how it feels. It stirs up our emotions. It makes us want to cry. The one abiding constant now for us is change. Chaos asserting control over order. The mountains fall, the earth quakes, the oceans roar. At the best of times, life is chaotic. Now it just feels busted. Like a sign on a broken vending machine, life is rendered out of order. And life is out of order, isn't it? And apart from pastorally advising you all to please take a break from some social media, try getting your information from anyone other than Tracy Grimshaw and Carl Stefanovic. Listen to me very carefully. Yes, it feels like mayhem. Yes, emotions are stirred. Yes, there's panic and there's fear in the air. But God, who created order from chaos, still provides protection for his people. See it now in the psalm. In a new world of physical distancing, God is present with us. In this current climate of self-isolation, God is our refuge. He's our hiding place in times of trouble, our shelter in a world of chaos. In a world of suffering, God is our strength. Psalmist's world is in complete freefall. But his confidence, see it now, it remains unshaken. We can take shelter in God's protection. We can find refuge inside his city walls because God is with us. See it from verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. When we know God is with us, it's so much easier to see that God is for us. Inside the city of God, this is what life is like. It's just like paradise, isn't it? Like life once was in the Garden of Eden. In Eden, there was a river of life. There, God dwelt with his people, life as it should be, life as God intended, life as God ordered. God's people in God's place under God's rule. God present in his garden. God present in his city. In Jerusalem, the city of God, the psalmist could see for himself the temple, the visible and symbolic reminder that the God of the covenant was with his people, that he dwelt with them. And so mountains fall into the sea, but it's really just a drop in the ocean. Because you see, the city of God, friends, it's not going anywhere. Night is filled with darkness and chaos, but in the morning comes clarity and new perspective. And I want us to get some clarity here this morning from Psalm 46. You see, God is with us. And God is for us. And even though everything has changed for us, nothing has changed for God. His city is open for business, and it's business as usual. Here, there is order and there is protection for his people. Outside, well, it's chaos and uproar. Look there at verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. The nations are in chaos. Kingdoms, empires, businesses, all on the brink. In a world of foreign instability, teetering on the edge now of collapse. Can you see that God is offering you protection and stability? He rules over a kingdom that never fails. The Lord Almighty is with us, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. God fights for his people. The God who protected Jacob from the deceitful schemes of Laban and Esau is the very same God who now protects us. God is our fortress and our stronghold. He protects us in a world that falls apart and from a world that's now falling apart. God is with us. But I want you to look very carefully at that last word now in verse 7. It's the Hebrew word Selah. And while you see it all over the place in the Psalms, it appears three times now in Psalm 46. Can you see it there? It's in verse 3, in verse 7, and in verse 10. Selah is a note for singers. Psalms are songs that need to be sung. And when you see the word Selah, it means to stop for a minute and to take a rest. Hit the pause button. Be still. Catch your breath. Let what's just been said start to sink in. Selah is there to pause for emphasis. Now, I know it's not the strongest exegetical point of my exposition so far, but humour me for a moment, won't you? because it's written there three times. So let's just pause together for a moment and collectively catch our breaths. Let these words sink deep down into your heart. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Friends, God is with us, and his kingdom of peace is established forever. Look there at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to end the earth, to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The psalmist invites those who are fearful to now come and see. Walk and look at what God has done. Consider the works of the Lord. But not just his creative work, as amazing and as breathtaking as creation is and can be. The works of God are what God has done for us. The saving and redemptive work of God, how he's rescued Israel, his people. The mighty warrior who fought for his people in Exodus, God saved Israel, leading her across the Red Sea, destroying the Egyptian armies. Listen to Moses. Exodus 14 verse 13 says this. Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The command, "be silent," means be still. Selah. God is with us. In Joshua, God led Israel into battle, conquering Israel's enemies, giving them land as a promised inheritance. God is with us. How in the book of Judges and Kings, God destroyed his enemies. Come for a walk. See what God's done for you, says the psalmist. God is always with us, always fighting for his people, establishing his everlasting kingdom of peace, ending the hostilities that rage against his people. Friends, come and see. And when you've seen and when you've considered, you need only to be silent. Verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. Before everything stops, friends, we need to stop. It's time for us to be still. Time for us to consider. Time for us to listen. All the rushing and busyness that rules our lives has been reduced to restrictions and stillness. Together then, my friends, let's take this time apart to stop and be still, because God is with us. God fights for us. God is with us. You need only to be still. And the one thing that separates us from God, that exiles us from his presence, is defeated in the death of the Son of God. God in flesh, who came to be with us. Jesus dealt with our sickness, our sin, and our sorrow, his death to end our sins and our death. Jesus, who died in hostility and chaos so that we might dwell in the security and the peace of his everlasting city. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." Friend, be still and rest in the knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Consider now his invitation with me, Matthew 11 verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would be with us, each and every one, to all of us who hear this podcast, to all of us who sit and listen to Psalm 46, whether that be on Sunday morning or at any other time, we pray that you would be with us. Help us to know that you're in control. Help us to know that you're with us. Remind us again that even though the world totters and shakes and things fall apart and collapse, that you are in control. That you have an eternal city where you will dwell and call your people. And that now in your Son you call us to come and to find rest in him. Whatever our fears, and they are many, and whatever our concerns, and whatever it is that is upon our hearts and in our minds, Lord Jesus, we pray that in all of them, you would be with us. Now more than ever, we pray that you would help us to believe the gospel that we say we believe, to draw comfort from its promises, and to be the people you've called us to be to those who live in fear and have no hope. For we ask these things in the precious name of your Son. Amen.